from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family, when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be made known to all of you that, and to all the people of Israel, that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of His holy word. Comedian Jerry Lewis used to tell a story about a day when his wife, Patty, decided to leave their three oldest sons at home while she went shopping. So Jerry was trying to get some sleep. And about an hour after she left, the three lads woke him up and said, "Dad, we did all the dishes." "That's wonderful," Jerry yawned. "How did you manage?" "Well," the oldest one said, "I washed them." And then the second one said, "I dried them." And the third one chimed in, "And I picked up the pieces." "Don't you wish you had somebody to help you pick up the pieces?" Because we've all been through those kinds of times when we just have more than we can handle. So many demands on our time, so many items on our agendas, so many things to do that it just feels like life has become a three-ring circus. And like a child who loses control of a dinner plate, we lose control and it just all comes crashing down. Hopes are broken. Dreams are destroyed. Our future lays shattered at our feet. Well, that may be a little overstatement, but we have all been in that place where we wonder if there's any way we can go on. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes and talk about a way that we can get it back together and keep it together. Because there are a lot of people all around us who are truly hurting, suffering, searching for meaning in life, looking for some reason to go on. And you may be right there with them this morning. So I want to focus on a man who discovered the true power of the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." As we get started, let's pray together. God Almighty, you've brought us to this day and this time on this beautiful, beautiful sunshiny day. And as the sun warms the ground around us, Lord, may the Spirit of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, warm our hearts in such a way that we can truly understand everything you want us to know. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This guy I want to talk about is a guy who lost it all and then got it back together. His name was Simon. Jesus called him Cephas. You probably know him better as Peter, a name that literally means rock. He knew Jesus very, very well, and he wanted the whole world to know how much love and compassion Jesus has. He understood that because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can all have a new lease on life. Our hurts can be healed. Our souls can be saved. But Simon wasn't always like that. Something happened to him. About the year 30 AD or so, this guy named Jesus from the little town of Nazareth in the province of Galilee started his public ministry. And one of the very first things that he did was he selected a core group of people to learn the things he had to teach them. Those people became known as the 12, or sometimes they're referred to as the 12 disciples. They were handpicked by Jesus to learn everything he had to teach. And one of the very first persons Jesus selected was a fisherman named Simon. Simon lived in a tiny town called Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Most of the people from Capernaum made their living somehow or another from this rather large lake. And Simon and his brother Andrew had a fishing business. So one day they were hard at work and this guy named Jesus dropped by and he says, "Hey guys, follow me." And for some reason, Simon and Andrew quit what they were doing and they followed Jesus. They spent the better part of the next 3 years walking with Jesus, talking to Jesus, watching as Jesus performed miracles, listening to the things Jesus had to teach. They got to know Jesus and they became very, very close friends. People began to speculate as to who Jesus might be. Some people thought maybe he was the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Others thought that maybe he was a reincarnated version of John the Baptist. Some people were saying he was one of the Old Testament prophets. So one day, Jesus asked the 12, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon was the first one to speak out. "You're the Messiah," he said. "You are the Son of the living God." Simon was the first person to say out loud that Jesus is the Christ. And that's when Jesus began to call Simon Peter, the rock, because it was on that statement of faith that has become the cornerstone upon which all faithful followers of Jesus have firmly stood ever since. The problem is that almost immediately things began to unravel for Peter. Jesus started talking about how he was going to go to Jerusalem, get killed, and then be raised on the third day. And Peter boldly declared that he would never allow any harm to come to his best friend. So, just a few weeks later, they were all sitting around a supper table celebrating the Passover meal when Jesus again started talking about how he was going to get killed and then be raised again. And again, Peter swore up and down that he would never turn his back on his best friend, his teacher, and his master. He would willingly lay down his own life on behalf of his friend. And then it was time for Peter to walk the walk. He had talked a really good game. Now it was time for him to live up to his words. Authorities arrested Jesus and hauled him off to court, it was clear that their intentions were not good. Peter followed them to the courthouse, but he kind of hung back and watched from a distance to see what Jesus was going to do. And as he stood there, a hand touched his shoulder and a woman's voice asked, "You know Jesus, don't you?" "No," Peter said, "I don't." And then just a little while later, another voice, "Didn't I see you with him in Galilee? I don't know what you're talking about." And then a third voice, "You look just like one of his disciples. Leave me alone." And it all came crashing down. Peter lost it. When his best friend in the whole world needed him the most, Peter denied ever having known him. Even after he had confessed that he believed that Jesus was the only Son of God, Peter turned his back on the Christ. And his future lay shattered at his feet. And yet, just a short time later, Peter started the church. Peter preached a sermon so powerful that 3,000 people joined the church at one time. Can you imagine 3,000 people coming in here at once? It would freak me out. On the steps in the temple of Jerusalem, Peter called upon the name of the risen Lord Jesus and healed a lame man and made him jump and made it so that he could jump up and down and run laps around the temple. And then in a passage that we read right at the beginning of the sermon, Peter stood toe to toe with that same group of people who had condemned Jesus to death, and he boldly declared, "There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved." Something happened. Something changed him. Somebody picked up the pieces and put him back together. It's the same person who wants to pick us up and put us back together. Christ Jesus, the risen Lord. Because he offers every one of us the same thing he offered and gave to Peter. Peter received the power of Jesus' forgiveness. On that night when Peter had denied his best friend three separate times, it could have been over. That could have ended it right then and right there. But it didn't. Jesus came to Peter with his arms wide open and he said, "Peter, I love you and I forgive you." It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been or where you may be right now. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you may be doing right now. The same risen Lord Jesus stands with his arms wide open and he says, "I love you and I forgive you." Peter also received the power of Jesus' presence. When Jesus was raised from the dead, one of the very first persons he went to was Peter. And after Jesus ascended to be with the Father in heaven, one of the first persons to receive the power of the Holy Spirit was Peter. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, Jesus stands with his arms stretched out and he offers, "Receive the power of my Holy Spirit." Jesus gave Peter the power of a support group. He didn't make Peter go it alone. He surrounded him with friends and family who have been empowered by the same presence of the Holy Spirit so that they could move boldly and confidently into the future. Jesus surrounds us with a support system. Friends and family who have been empowered by the same Holy Spirit to move boldly and confidently into the future. Peter lost it. Jesus picked up the pieces, put him back together, moved him forward to do great and glorious things on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're not perfect people. Jesus knows that. Jesus knows every time we betray him. Jesus knows how much we deny him. Jesus knows every time we turn our back and deny our calling, his calling upon our lives. Jesus loves us anyway. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there to pick up the pieces, put them back together, and move us forward to do great and glorious things for his kingdom. There's an old story about a philosophical clock. It talks about how easy it is to lose control. See, a couple hundred years ago, this master clockmaker built a magnificent grandfather clock. It not only kept perfect time, it could also think. And so when the master clockmaker presented his work to its owner, the clock started to think. And it thought to itself, I must tick twice every second. That means I need to tick 120 times a minute, and 7,200 times an hour, and 17,800 times a day, and 63,072,000 times a year. And at that point, it lost control, fell apart, and had a nervous breakdown. So the owner returned the philosophical clock to the clockmaker, and as it sat in the repair shop, it began to analyze itself. And it finally came to the conclusion that all it really had to do was tick twice a second. And any respectable clock could do that. And so it returned to its owner, and there it sits, keeping perfect time and remains in mint condition. Peter. That same Peter who denied Jesus and turned his back on his best friend would go on during the later part of his life and write that Jesus wants to be the guardian of our souls. I invite you today to let Jesus be that for you. He picked up the pieces of Peter's broken life. He put him back together and empowered him to be one of the greatest persons to have ever lived. Jesus puts people's lives back together every single day, and he wants to do the same thing for you. All you have to do is let him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, when we are at our worst, you are at your best. You are there to love us, to heal us, to forgive us, to put us back together and get us pointed in the right direction. Help us, Jesus, follow you. We ask in your precious name. Amen.